Welcome back to JK Metal Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. We truly do it all. And this week, we are brought to you by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop out in northern Utah. You can direct any further questions on that to Cole.
And I'm Cole.
And I am Easton. We are your two favorite hosts of your favorite weekly motorcycle podcast. Though, Cole, you missed us last week, which is fine. We understand you were busy. Any motorcycle news from a certain part of the world that you were in?
Yes, I figured out that, take back everything I said. Americans, we have no hope.
Yikes.
Our MotoGP future does not look bright. It only takes 20 minutes in a taxi ride in a downtown city in Italy to realize where all them riders are coming from. Did you know, just random numbers pulled out of my hoo-hot, but 30 to 50% of the drivers, okay? 30 to 50% of the drivers are on two wheels in the city.
Okay.
Stark contrast. I mean, I knew this, but you get reminded of it every time you visit one of them places.
Yeah.
30 to 50% are on bikes.
And where were you? Just because I haven't told anyone yet.
I was in Italy.
Okay. All right.
You know, home of the Bologna Bullets.
Bologna. Yep.
Home of the former world champion.
Oof. No spoilers here.
Again, like I say, it only takes 10 minutes in a taxi ride from the airport, you know, to get cut off by 17 Vespas in a row. Watch them weave in and out of traffic, and then realize that they're also texting while they're driving. So,
how is that? With are they ambidextrous? You know, use both hands. Ambidextrous.
They're pretty good on them little scoots. And even when they're not driving a motorcycle, they're driving a smart car, and you know, it's basically just a four-wheeled motorcycle.
Italy is the. You know, some of the most beautiful and high performance. They love their speed. That's where Monaco is. If F1 ever stops doing road racing, you know, racing on the streets, I don't think they will ever get rid of Monaco.
Well, even though some of the drivers probably want them to, they can't.
Yeah. You got Ferrari, you got Ducati, Aprilia, you know, they're great. Their bikes are really killing it out there. In MotoGP these days.
I'm telling you what, I've seen remarkably, you know, every time I go there, you know, I'm always shooting you pictures of motorcycles and whatever that I see over there because they're all branded a little different, just like the cars. So, you know, you might find a Honda that you've never heard of before. I've seen scooters that were called Tweets, the People's Scooter. Tweets. How cute is that, right?
I mean,
Vespa's. It's synonymous with Italy, right? Yeah. But there's like one Vespa out of every 20 scooters.
Okay.
They're Hondas, they're Chinese knockoffs, they're a lot of scooters, but it took me to the second day, I think, to see a Ducati.
Interesting. Okay. And,
you know, by the time my week there was over, I had only seen a handful of them and they were all older. So Ducati, you want to build the people's bike, you got to make one they can afford, apparently. I don't know.
just out of curiosity, any Harley Davidsons over there?
Every bike, for the first couple days, every bike that wasn't a scooter pretty much was a Harley Davidson.
Interesting. Okay.
There was quite a few Harleys came across. There was more GS. The biggest bikes I seen over there were the BMW GS, you know, 1200, 1300.
Yeah. Yeah, the adventure touring type.
Yeah, you've seen a few of those. And then, you know, as I traveled across the country, I'm sure they have different, just like we do here, different police precincts that choose to use whatever bike they want. And the biggest Ducatis over there I seen were Multistrada police bikes.
Okay. Interesting.
But you go to a different city and they were all driving BMW GS police bikes.
You know, that's an interesting thing. And, oh man, to live in Italy, because here in America, right? All of our vehicles for government use generally are American made. Whether or not they're actually built on American soil, I don't know. We're not here to argue that, but they're American branded, right? To live in Italy and to have those options, you know, Italian branded, yeah, instead of riding a Harley Davidson Street Glide down the road, you could be in a Panigale V4R. That'd be nuts. Anyway.
But they weren't.
Well, we missed you over here. I think we had a pretty solid episode. A couple special ladies talking about just kind of the other side of the house when it comes to track days and everything else. I think that went over pretty well, but we definitely missed you. So what do you say we roll an intro and get into a riding tip and then talk MotoGP?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yesterday at one point, I was in sick.
And we're back.
We're back. I'm not gonna say it. You got mad at me too often for saying it.
Yeah, we're live. Let's go.
Well, you want to roll right into a weekly riding tip?
After the week I had, I need a riding tip.
Here we go. All right. Weekly riding tip. And this week's weekly riding tip is brought to you by none other than Bittinger Motorsports, which is private coaching to build solid riders through vision-based training with your eyes, which he talks about vision a little bit today. I kind of like this tip. It's simple, straightforward, and good. So we'll get into it. Clean those sound holes. Our brain is a computer. The better and more input we have, the better our outputs will be. We want to see, hear, and feel as much as we can when riding a motorcycle. Change out to fresh contacts and clean your ears before a track day. Clean ear canals help us with balance and sound. Always hydrate. Sleep well the night before. Riding is 90% mental, and we want all our sensors and computing ability to be functioning 100% when we are traveling at 100 miles an hour. Clean those sound holes.
Clean those sound holes, like with car keys or Q-tips, or what are we talking?
You know, being that we're focused on track days, club racing, and great entertainment, we are not going to give out any sort of medical advice here on the show, because we are not certified to do so. You clean your ears with whatever your doctor would recommend. And I will continue to clean mine against what my doctor recommends and against what everything recommends, because that's how I've been doing it my whole life. So,
okay. Cowards. You need to get some ear candling done.
Ear what?
That's what I'm doing next round. Ear candling.
Candling. Okay. Sorry. I thought you said candling, and I was like, I don't know what that means, but candling. Yeah, you stick the candle in there and you light it and it builds up all the wax, and then you pull it out and it pulls out all the, yeah. I'm not gonna do that, but you know.
Hey, I've done it before. It's great.
Okay. I mean, I've had the like hefty spray stuff done. You get the good old warm water super jet. Feel like you're pressure washing your ear, kinda hurts, and then afterward you're like, that was pretty good. Pretty clean in there now. Can hear pretty well.
I'll try that. See if I can, you know, take 20 years off my hearing in the right direction.
Yeah, that's actually why I did it. You know, I was going in for a hearing test and they thought I was lying about my hearing test, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I can't hear. So they super cleaned my ears and then did it again, and I'm like, yep, well, what do you know, still can't hear. So it doesn't fix that problem, but yeah,
dang it.
Anyway, back to the tip. Clean your ears. I like this tip a lot. I think it's super simple, straightforward, pretty hard to like. It's the stuff that like, yeah, Josh, okay, of course. But then you think about it, you're like, well, sometimes we forget these things. Sometimes you're traveling and you don't have time. And so you're pulling into your hotel at 1 a.m. and then waking up at 4 to get down to the track on time, running on 3-4 hours of sleep. And you can feel that the next day. And so I appreciate the simple tips, because sometimes it's good to take a step back and just look at it and be like, yeah, no, you're right. Those are all very important things. So,
I agree. I wear glasses at night, but I always forget to wear them on the track, and I can't hear anything. So,
Esther, do you wear earplugs on the track, Cole?
No, sir. I can't hear with or without them, so we're just rolling with it.
Doesn't really make a difference, huh? All right.
I usually drive by Braille.
That's good. Yeah, this is all jokes for the legal aspect of the show. No, I mean, I always wore earplugs on the track, but there were definitely times where I'd go out and not wear earplugs on like a ride, and I'd get back from the ride. It was a 4-hour long ride on the Gixxer, and well, you know the Gixxer pretty well. You get back from that, and it doesn't matter who you're talking to. Like, what? Huh? What was that? It was all day for like 2 hours. Ears hurt. It was especially bad when I was riding to work every day. This is a half hour, 45 minute commute to work, and no earplugs. Didn't even think about it. And I'm blasting the music in there also, you know, trying to relax and cruise. And yeah, anyway, I like what he mentioned about balance. I never thought about that before, but having clean ears can definitely help with balance. There's a lot of balance that goes on inside your little ear hole that you wouldn't know about unless you've had it affected before, which I've done that. It's not fun. So
no, it's not. Well, I think I'm going to wear some glasses, get my ears candled.
Okay.
And I'm going to check and see if AirPods count as earplugs.
Yeah. Yep. They as long as you're just using them for earplugs. How far is the Bluetooth connectivity on that?
Well, I take the phone with me too.
Does it have that weird Apple thing where when you crash, it automatically calls the 911 emergency services?
Yeah, probably. I'll let you know when that happens.
All right. We do not condone taking cell phones out on the track. Anyway, whatever. I like the tip. I think it's a good tip. Like I said, nice and simple, to the point. Definitely good. If you want to hit up what Cole's doing, get the ears candled, or you can hit the pressure washer method, whatever you need to do before next season. It is coming up to the end of the season. I think for most people, it's starting to end, besides down in California. Obviously, you know, you got Cali, Texas, and Florida. I'm so jealous of those guys. But anyway, just to say thank you, Josh. Do appreciate that tip and all the weekly tips. If you're looking to ride with Josh, you can ride with him and Bittinger Motorsports down at MSRH. We have a link down in the description for his program. Check it out. We will also be there. Well, I will be there here in about a week and a half. So I know he's got a couple spots open for that. If you're looking to join us, that'd be awesome. Love to see you there. But we'll be down there checking it out and be able to give you some firsthand experience and firsthand kind of feedback on what his program is all about. Maybe it's not good. I don't know.
It's probably pretty good.
I'm pretty excited. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see you down there in about a week and a half, Josh. And in the meantime, appreciate the tip. But we do need to get into Moto GP.
Well, not quite yet.
Well, what are we doing first?
We still need to have an arrow discussion.
Arrow. Like the bow and arrow? Like deer hunting with the arrow?
No.
Okay, not that arrow. Got it. Oh, like but like my new slick haircut arrow?
Maybe a little more like that. You're getting closer. All right. Warming up.
Aerodynamics.
So I know you know this.
I do.
I know. But we had a new BMW M1000RR, S1000RR, and the corresponding S1000R and M1000R teased for the second quarter of 2025.
I didn't know there was an M1000 single R.
Yes, sir.
Have I been out of the... I guess I should have known that. I apologize to all the listeners for my lack of knowing, but I wasn't aware of that. Anyway, yeah, okay. Yes.
So for
I'm looking at it. Oh, my goodness.
So we've told them. We've said, hey, let's get away from Arrow. Let's get rid of Arrow. And they decided the S1000 should go ahead and get the big arrow.
And since it's getting the big arrow, the M1000 should
get bigger arrow.
Have a whole freaking... You could take, like, if you went camping on your M1000RR in 2025, you could put your sleeping bag in one side and then put your, like, sleeping pad in the other side. And then all of your bags still have room for everything else.
And you could hang out underneath it to stay out of the rain.
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably get like at least 4 hours of shade out of those things.
So
they're so big. I'm watching the freaking slideshow on BMW Motorrad. You know, shout out to BMW Motorrad's website. I do like their website. It's great. But yeah, watching their slideshow, they literally go through the M1000, then the S1000, and then they bring up an adventure touring bike. And I would almost rather take the M1000 once again for the shade and the rain coverage that the wings provide on an adventure touring type of adventure. Gosh, those things are huge.
They're carbon fiber, so you got to be careful. So remarkably, I read somewhere that they have more ground clearance in the corners than the last version.
No.
It says they do.
Dude, I looked at it side by side.
You notice they're not squared off anymore. They're like got a round whoop-de-doop to them. They look like a Delta Boeing 767 turned upside down.
Yeah, they kind of have like an actual wing, the wing warping, if you will.
It's more downforce. What else we got new on those things? We got 218 horsepower on the M.
I was going to say a little more horsepower. You know what's weird? On the website, the M1000 is sitting on some Michelin Pilot Cup 2s, whereas the S1000 was sitting on some slicks in their like main photo. It's not important. I don't think like it matters, but that's interesting to me. And then they have the Top Rack himself.
Yeah, the winningest bike in the world now.
He's actually... So there's him, side shot him on the bike. Then there's just a picture of him next to another picture of him on the bike next to a picture of the wing. So the three things they are focused on is top rack on the bike, and the wing.
You spent all that money to get a great rider to come in and win a championship for you. Kudos to them for using him. But don't forget poor Vandermark in the background. That video you're watching over there, it's Vandermark and Top Rack, the two BMW okay. riders.
I mean, I'm not watching a video yet. I'm just looking at that. The interesting part to me is the S1000 obviously got a pretty big wing update. Looks like it just got the wings that the M1000 had last year. But the face is just barely still S1000? Or is it?
I believe it is. I haven't seen one in person yet. I'm curious to see that because from a cosmetic standpoint, I don't love the 90 degree straight up and down.
Yeah. Area. Nose looking thing. Yeah.
But if you'll notice one other thing as you're watching those slides, we're back to asymmetrical. We've got shark fins on one side and not the other on the S.
Hold up. On the S. I'm looking at the M specifically right now. Let me go back here. Models M. Oh. Sport S1000 RR asymmetrical. What are we? Which part?
So they used to always just refer to the headlights because obviously the first generations had the one big headlight, one small one.
Mm-hmm.
But the plastics were actually different. Also, you had shark fins on the right side and no shark fins on the left.
Yeah.
They went away from that, but it's back.
That's what I'm looking, even in their pictures here, the one wing is blue and the other is red. And the RR only goes up the one side of the nose. I don't see I know what you're talking about. I don't have like a clear picture of both sides side by side right now to see that, but I get what you're saying. Shark fins on one side, not the other. Okay, yeah, now there it is. I mean, if you go to the start the engine, you see the shark fins right behind the wing. Come to the other side, there's none. I wonder if that's just where they put their, you know, certain electronics on bikes, certain electrical components need more cooling. So I wonder if that's just to provide cooling to a certain electronic component that sits there and the other side just doesn't need it. Definitely interesting. Yeah. Interesting. You know, when I first saw the 2025 lineup, because of the giant wings that the S1000 got, I told some people, I was like, Cole's about to go buy a 2024 before they run out and he doesn't have the option.
Well, You got to buy a 23. 24's got
the arrow, but not arrow. This arrow. It didn't get the 25 arrow.
Yeah, but I actually like. Sorry, everybody. I'm on Team BMW. That's been made very clear, but I prefer no wings.
Mm-hmm.
The 24 S1000, I don't like the wings at all. The 25, okay. I think I would rather have the 25 than the 24 wings. I'd rather go bigger for home, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. So you'd rather have the S1000 from 2025 than the, like, 2024, like, yeah, we put some wings on it.
Yep.
Interesting. It does definitely feel like the 2025 S1000 just got last year's M1000 wings. Obviously, the M1000 got a whole new package. They are huge. They are bent. They're nuts. It's insane because I don't know another manufacturer that is going that crazy. I feel like everyone else has tried to keep their stuff pretty subtle. Like, yep, no, we're going to have wings on here, but they're going to be more hidden, right? Like Aprilia had some pretty big ones, and then with their newer model, they actually brought it in a little bit. Honda couldn't really tell they were there. Newer model got rid of the flaps, you know, the multiple layers, and just stuck some more. The new Yamaha R9, very like simple little thing. Then Ducati's just got the literal, we're going to throw a spoiler on the side, and it probably doesn't do anything, but it looks cool. So good luck. I don't think it looks cool, for the record.
Good luck, he says. Well, we also have the sideways slide control.
Okay.
So for track use, apparently, but
yeah,
you got the ABS kicking in for sideways slide control now.
Yeah, traction control, BMW Motorrad DTC, slide control. Interesting. A load-bearing engine in the frame, upside-down telescopic fork. It is, you know, to take it off of BMW for a minute, if you haven't looked into it yet, go look into it. I don't think we need to sit here and just give you all the specs right off the website. It's crazy. There's the wing update is nuts. I'm not a big fan of it. I understand why they're doing it. My biggest question for you, Cole, which I'll ask you here in a second. I have a question. Sorry. I'll ask you a question on that in a second. But before that, I had a buddy who told me he's a Kawasaki guy. He's got like the Z650 or something. Yeah. But he said, I'm definitely getting the Z900 next year. And his reasons why were clutchless up and down shifting, lean angle sensor in the dash, and like a new bigger dash that had some, I think it had GPS built into the dash and different things like that. It does feel like we are finally getting the big superbike electronic packages passed down kind of through the ranks, if you will. Like the R9, that's one of the big, in my head, the big differences between the Yamaha R9 and the R7. Obviously, there's a power difference there because there's an engine size difference, but also the R9 is getting almost more electronics than the current R1, realistically, when you look at it. Right, it's getting a dedicated frame, and it's getting all these crazy electronics along with it, and that's something the R7 doesn't have. And now we're seeing that in this Z900, which is a naked bike, coming with all sorts of sweet electronics. So we're starting to finally see all that passed down. My question for you on this BMW is, are they testing out all this aero for MotoGP? Yeah, I know you can't give me a actual answer on that because you don't work for BMW unless you're some sort of crazy German BMW spy. But
I can answer.
What are your thoughts and opinions on that?
My thoughts and opinions are no, they are not, because they don't need to follow any strict rules in MotoGP, so they're going to do whatever they want there.
Okay.
Whatever works. Are they making this bike to continue their glory in World Superbike? Yes. For bringing new bikes to Moto America? Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it has nothing to do with the fact that they're going to MotoGP. That's a cold fact. But they're saying it. They're coming.
They have been saying it.
Top Rack's trying to put it in his contract right now.
Interesting. I mean, Simon Crafar this weekend asked Top Rack. He said, Top Rack, please, please come ride with us. We want you over here, please. It's like, well, why, you know, why doesn't anyone offer him a contract? I think he would take it in a heartbeat. So weird. Okay, so your thoughts and opinions on this giant, huge, new updated wing is that BMW just cannot keep up with all the other bikes. So they're seeing it work in MotoGP, so they're trying it out in World Superbike and Moto America.
So they're doing it to help them be better in World Superbike and has nothing to do with MotoGP. And, you know, the BMWs are so fast, they need a wing like that to slow them down. They're just trying to make it fair for everybody else.
Right. Right. And they added 6 more horsepower. So I guess that kind of backs up your claim there. The only thing you did say, apparently, it's got more ground clearance. I feel like that is the only thing that actually worries me is this wing does, like, even in the videos.
Oh, it's close.
If you crash that thing, let me put it this way. If Mark Marquez tried to, like, do his save thing that he didn't accomplish last weekend, or this weekend. Anyway, we'll get into that later. But if he tried to do a save thing, he would come up with a broken wing on a BMW. Like 100%. That would be gone.
Well, guaranteed.
That thing is 3 feet wide. So it doesn't look good. I'm sorry, but it doesn't.
Well, you know I'm not a huge fan of them as well, but those are all opinions. Some people dig it. Some people love it. I mean, how many BMWs do I see at the track right now that they put the newer fairings on just trying to get wings?
So yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, people, I agree, but look.
Okay, so that picture there doesn't even do it justice because there's some pictures of Garrett Gerloff from late last year that the wing is absolutely dragging.
Like, I'll get back to dragging, but just look at how, like, here's your motorcycle. And then here's your wing. It goes like all the way up here. It's, ugh. I don't even know. Anyway, we're not going to like watch. That's the picture I was kind of thinking about. Let me see.
Yeah, see, they're getting close there, but there was a better one from.
That's not much room. This is all just off BMW's website. So anyway, go back to normal, but. Yeah, it's, I don't know. All right, and enough about BMW. They've got some big updates. There's a bigger wing. It's huge.
I'm trying to find, they posted a thing that said the wings were for downforce or for taking out pedestrians' knees in traffic.
Oh, anyway, it's not just the wings. That is the most obvious. The biggest thing I think
is, but if you look at the S, it's totally different. It looks better. It looks like it's still sweeping back like the old one. Doesn't have the flat face on it.
Yeah, the S looks okay. I'll give you that. Important things to note. It's not just giant wings. You're also getting more horsepower. You're getting updated electronics. You know, the S has brake ducts on it now. Cool down your brakes a little bit. There's definitely some different updates going on, but worth looking into. I know everyone's probably already seen it, so we don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't think we can get away without looking on the wings. The biggest issue I have is all over the internet all year has been a 2025 BMW S1000 or M1000RR concept, right? That has just been like the BMW in the beginning, and then the wings went like, they went like this, and then like this, and then like this, and then in 2025 they were like just this giant, huge parachute thing on the front. And when I first saw this bike, it was like they actually did it.
You thought they were joking.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the electronics real quick. Not necessarily BMW, but you know, you mentioned a buddy talking about the electronics that he liked. We bring up electronics all the time. Mm-hmm. I just want to point out that sometimes with the electronics, I mean, the BMW that I race has all sorts of features that are worthless, like the music player or the, you know, that kind of stuff I'm never going to use as soon as it hits a racetrack.
Yeah.
But it all kind of depends on the bike. You talked about like things trickling down.
Yeah.
There's more reasons to have that huge infotainment center on the bike you mentioned.
Yeah. 100%.
If you're driving on the street, I mean, I wish I had GPS a lot of the time because it's hard to know where you're going on a bike if you got to pull over and look at your phone all the time.
Yeah, and like cruise control on a bike that you actually could find yourself just on the freeway.
Yeah, cruise control is awesome.
But it's good.
Again, once it touches the racetrack, all those features are garbage.
Just yeah.
They're just a waste. But anyway, I just had to.
No, it's a good point you bring up, and definitely interesting. You know, I think about my Aprilia is a 2019, pretty old, and it was one of the, that was kind of like the beginning stages of all these like giant electronic upgrades, or updates, if you will. And not just specifically for Aprilia, I'm talking about all brands, but having cruise control on that bike, like that was sweet. I would go out and ride, and there were times where I'm like, I don't want to get pulled over. Let me just set cruise control and let me like stretch out my wrist a little bit, you know, and get some movement in the wrist again, get the blood flowing out to the fingertips. And yeah, that's nice. But then you're absolutely right. You get to the racetrack and it's half of it goes away. Half of it's useless. Like, no, I don't need to connect this thing to my phone. No, I don't need to connect it to my, I don't need to pair my phone and my helmet and my bike to run Google Maps and tell me which direction to go and be able to skip the song using the button on my bike. I'm not going to do that out on the track. So it's interesting that like the big super bikes get all those electronics first. I understand why, because like it's the most expensive model, should have all the things. But it is weird once you get into this world of track days and racing and everything else, the things that you originally would have thought were sweet on a super bike that now you're just kind of like, why is this? Why? Like, why do we need that? So
we're close.
Anyway, big updates in BMW. We're seeing the electronics float down. I think that's the message we're trying to send. Are you ready yet?
I'm ready. What do you want to start with? Some fantasy?
We do need to cover fantasy. I did write down fantasy from last weekend, and interestingly enough, we had a pretty, similar weekend this weekend. So let me pull out, I took a note on the cellular device. Let's see, it's called Fantasy Winner from last weekend, which last weekend we didn't cover and we're not going to cover that much. We might talk about it a little bit this week. I don't know if you caught that while you were busy traveling, Cole.
Of course. I'd do something on the airplane.
There you go. But last week's winner with a whopping 169 points was Kelly OJ, which Kelly OJ himself is currently sitting down in 16th. And what do you know it again this week, which I think he just started pulling some boosts out because this week he won. Once again, with a whopping 187 points, followed very closely by Swindle 31 Racing at 175, and followed very closely after that by your first place, currently still holding it down, Triple Three Racing at 156.5. So, pretty interesting couple of weekends, especially this weekend. I think we have a little bit to unwrap there. And we'll cover a little bit of last weekend also. But Kelly, if you're listening, go ahead and shoot us a message over on Instagram at JK Moto Podcast. We'll send you over 2 weekly prizes. And we are but 1 weekend away, or not weekend, but 1 race weekend away from.
If you're holding on to boosts, it's time to use them.
It is that you've only got 1 shot left. Only 1 shot left. And I don't know, have we had an official announcement yet on where the final round is going to be? Heard of Catalonia today?
Barcelona.
Barcelona. Okay. Let's see if they have that updated on their calendar. They don't yet. Full update here. Let me look into that.
My understanding is Barcelona.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah, I actually wasn't aware of what was going on over in Valencia, but there were some natural disaster things going on.
Floods, man.
The story I saw that I think told it the best was the
You're not buying into the hype. They switched it to Barcelona, Spain. So Jorge could win?
For Jorge to... No, not buying into that at all. What I'm buying into is the fact that it totally made sense because the story I heard said that emergency vehicles are very busy. You know, emergency services in general are very busy with helping out the city itself. Why would we want to distract them? So,
yeah, they mentioned a lot this week. Stood up, had a prayer, moment of silence, all the things for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I mean, we don't need to see event. Well, that's rude to say. I won't say it. Barcelona it is.
Barcelona, yeah. Anyway, I mean, it makes sense. It is kind of interesting. It's kind of crazy to have such a quick and change right at the end. We are finding ourselves once again going into the final round to decide the world championship. I kind of thought maybe we wouldn't, but I actually had a discussion with one of our favorite guest hosts, our only guest host that we've ever had, about the weekend and what a certain person would do. You know, we just discussed the maturity level and what the options were. And I think that the race today, earlier today, which is Sunday, we know these episodes come out on Wednesday. We usually film on Sunday nights, but that race, I think, definitely showed that maturity level. But we got to get into, you know, the week before a little bit, got to at least cover that. They were out in Thailand. The only weird part I want to get your opinion on before we cover Thailand and then Malaysia. I saw a comment on a post earlier, I think a couple days ago, talking about like Jorge Martin's race win record this year and how few races he's actually won. And then that kind of paired with the conversation that me and our favorite guest host Lugnut had, where we were talking about just, you know, the amount of crashes there have been and how the comment, does anyone actually want to win this world championship this year? Talking about the level that everyone's running at and whatever else. But the specific comment about Jorge was that if it weren't for the sprints, he would never be a world champion. He wouldn't even have a shot, right? He wouldn't even be up there. And I don't know if I fully agree with that. But if you look at the data, you look at the statistics, it kind of rings true a little bit. He's won a lot of sprints.
There's been a rumor flying around that I don't agree with, but just to state the rumor, there's a school of thought that you should get more points for winning a race. It should be more than just plus five. Because you get third place, you're only down five to the second place rider.
Right.
So should it be a bigger jump to make that win more important? My opinion.
Make the win 30 is what you're saying.
Yeah. Make it worth more to win. And I'm actually completely torn on that, because if it's Bagnaia telling me that right now, then I'm like, yeah, I know why you're saying that. But keeping it completely, taking the politics out of it and just looking at it, I think a race win should, I mean, there's a big part of me that thinks, yeah, a race win should be worth more. But then on the flip side, I look at it and go, Bagnaia would have been the champion 3 weeks ago, three race rounds ago, and that wouldn't be as exciting for anybody. So from a competition level, I think if you look at the last couple years, we wouldn't have had these close seasons. I do think a win deserves to be more than a 5-point bonus, though. The win should be worth more.
I could see the argument for like the win being the most point difference. Like maybe you stack one extra point or two, right? So instead of 25, it's 26 or 27, just to give you that little bit of advantage. But I don't know. I mean, the point of the comment that I was talking about earlier or a second ago was that guy went on to talk about how the sprints. Like, I think he said something along the lines of keep the sprint, but don't have any points. You shouldn't build a champion based off of the sprint. And my argument to that is that it's what the world wants. You know, the world in general, the attention span's going down. We want quicker action. The Sunday races almost feel boring now. The sprint is like in your face from the beginning to the end. Everyone's kind of moving the whole time.
I have no problem. I have no problem with the format or the point system as it stands currently. The sprint race, they should continue. They should do it how they're doing it. But I would also argue that most times, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the statistics to back me up here, but in a Moto America, let's switch this to Moto America. The guys that win on the first day, more mm-hmm. times than not, the top three are going to be the same on day two.
Right.
It's that way in the sprint as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the top riders are going to be the top riders the next day. The race is just longer. Yeah. And typically you talk about like the boring segments. I mean, we're going to get into that, but I argue about the maturity level you were just talking about too, to the guest host as well. I would argue that what part of being a responsible grown-up rider was 15 different lead changes, touching multiple times. None of that was safe for him. None of that was, they both raced a good race. It was completely clean. I'm not trying to say that they weren't, you know, as safe as racing can be. I'm so glad that they gave that to us, because the second half of the race was unbearably boring, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think the red mist was kicking in a little bit. He didn't have to win that race.
Yeah, so, I mean, the conversation we had, me and that guest host offline, was something along the lines of, you know, he's got a chance to win, and if Bagnaia finishes less than second, then it's over. Does he chase the win, or does he also realize that he could literally just finish, like, in the top 10 for the next three events and be fine? The maturity thing that I was talking about was after that first five laps of kind of craziness. I think to argue your point, if he had wrecked with the way that he was riding and the other one was riding, they would have both wrecked, most likely. In which case, no points are gained on either side. So it's actually more of a win scenario. The commentators pointed that out, right? If Bagnaia and Martin go down, it leaves you exactly where you're at. If Bagnaia wins and Martin takes second, it's 5 points down on Martin. So a crash scenario with both of them wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, but blinking to the end of that, since it's relative, he tried crashing twice towards the end of that race when he was pushing again.
That's true. But, I mean, so what I saw was a back off, an attempt to come back, I realize I can't come back, and a back off again, which I think is more than we would have seen from him last year. And that's why I make that maturity comment, is that I think he has changed from last year. He has gotten more mature. Is he at 100%? No. But also, I mean, let's be realistic. Unless Aprilia pulls something wild out of somewhere this winter, this is a shot. If he doesn't get it, he doesn't have it. It's gone, yeah. in my opinion. So,
I mean, I've been saying that the whole time and getting ridiculed for it, but career enders.
Yeah, I don't know about career enders. That's why, you know, it's a part that I don't like. But as far as, I mean, you're probably not far off, to be honest with you. But it's a bold term. But a shot at the world championship.
Ask Joanne Mir about it.
Oh, so you admit that he has talent and the bike just sucks?
No.
Okay.
Maybe. Career ender, though.
Yeah, I do wonder what would have happened to good old Mir if he had gone to somewhere like Yamaha. We saw an interesting, that is something that was interesting today. I saw a post that pointed this out. You have Pedro Costa in fifth, Augusto Fernandez with his like highest finishing ever in 10th. Both of the factory Yamahas in the top 10 at 6th and 8th. Juan Zarco just outside the top 10, finishing above Marc Marquez. Crazy enough, only 25 seconds off the lead, but apparently near the end of the race, he started to come up and set some pretty good lap times that were with the front pace. Luca Marini has finished, I think, twice as many races as Joan Mir at this point. Never good, but he's finished them. Joan Mir continues to be, you know, everyone gives Mark Marquez crap. I think if Juan Mir was somehow at the front of the track, but wrecking as much as he was, he would have the nickname. Because every time now that I see him go down, I just wonder what's going on at your house when you're watching it. Because you said you guys like to count the laps that he actually races rather than the ones he doesn't anymore.
It usually goes something like, Juan Mir just crashed. Weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually watching on kind of not on my own, but without much other commentary. But I just every time I see it, I think of you. You know, I think of, oh, Juan Mir's out. Yep, we don't even have to talk about that this week because again, here we are talking about it anyway. But
you can't tell me he's out there trying to find new ways to make it go faster or this kind of stuff, and that's why he's crashing. I think he gets tired and says, eh. I fulfilled my obligation. I'm just going to set it down over here in the dirt.
I don't know. I mean, like, No one wants to ride a Honda right now. And so they'll give that contract to whoever. But there's got to be a point where you have some self-respect for your bike also. And you're just like, take last place. But just freaking keep the bike up.
At least bring it home. Can't be making any friends in the garage.
That's what I'm saying. Like the amount of money you're spending doing that, it does not look good. And, you know, and then you've got Zarco down there, put down a pretty impressive qualifying time too. He made qualifying quite exciting down in Q1, doing some crazy stuff, coming out of nowhere with a pretty hot lap and then making it into Q2. He wasn't as exciting in Q2, but you know, during Q1 kind of, I know he threw off the shark, if you will. Yeah.
And we got to talk about Jack.
Yeah, we do.
What a scary crash. They didn't have very good camera angles on it, but his head was full in between a tire and a fender there for a minute.
Yeah. When I saw that, I watched the race, I think at 9:30 in the morning. So, you know, after it happened, you got to stay off social media in the morning to make sure you don't get any spoilers. Start the race, everything's good. And you see, you know, Jorge and Pecco doing their thing that they were doing, which bravo to them. That was a great first five laps. I wish they would have kept it up a little longer. Anyway, and then, yeah, out in the background, dude, I couldn't even tell what happened until they started talking about it. And then they go through the replay. You can still only barely tell what happened, but man, there is that very clear picture of Jack's head being like pulled up almost by the tire, which is weird because tires should go the other way, but it was definitely, yeah, stuck between that tire and that fender for a hot minute and not like bent in a nice way. It was not trying to make it graphic. I'm sorry, but
it was a bit scary.
He came out okay though. I saw a post from him saying, thanks for all the good wishes. Glad to make it out there alive. Walk off of that one. So he did make it out okay, but you know, when the red flag came out, I don't think that was a surprise to anyone at that point. So
no,
because even in the first like view of it, you could see bikes like kind of running over people and could tell, okay, this is going to be pretty rough. So
talk about a guy spending his team's money.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does he care? You're right.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the Yamaha's had some new spec motors.
Some blown up new spec motors, yeah.
It looked like Fabio didn't like his, but Alex Rins liked his. Fabio switched back to the old bike. Alex kept the new one.
Yeah, I believe Fabio kind of went out and blew his up pretty quickly and said that ain't going to work. and went back to the old one, and Alex Rins said, no, this is sweet, and stuck with it, much like you just said. But I mean, yeah, to see, it's not great, and it feels sad to say this, but to see a Yamaha in sixth and eighth, it's good.
It was good. Let's move on to the real hot button topic.
Hit me.
What if Jorge Martin's bike blows up next week? What if he gets another bad tire? I was thinking about it today, man, and you know, those bikes are solid, right? You don't see too many mechanicals. Those bikes are solid for most of those teams, and they do a great job. But it happens. But it does. My God, it accidentally happens to him this weekend, there's no way Ducati's not going to be blamed for that.
Yeah.
Back down, you know, put it in the trailer, lock the doors, hire a guard.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know exactly what you're getting at. If anyone doesn't, Cole's asking about cheating. Ducati, Lenovo. There have been comments before about Gigi Deligna and Davide Tardozzi, whatever. Mostly Gigi being, they don't care. Like, obviously, yeah, they're on the team of Ducati Lenovo, but when they see another bike doing well and they see the top five or the top, you know, in this case, for instance, the top four racers are all Ducatis and one of them is last year's model. When they see a grid packed with seven out of the top 10 are Ducatis, they don't care. They don't care what rider it is. They built that bike. Gigi designed that bike. And it doesn't matter what rider's on it, they're going to take the top positions on the grid. Right? Like, yeah, they're all going to fight and intermingle and whatever. But at the end of the day, it's Ducati 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. You know, like, it's nuts. So that's been the hope that I've been holding on to negate those feelings. And
so, for the record, in my heart, I don't believe they would do something like that.
Right. Okay.
Well, that being said, stuff can happen.
Yeah.
Mechanics can happen. I'm saying if he naturally, unbiased, just something happens, there was no ill will. There's no way Ducati's ever going to explain that away.
So yeah, I think
maybe Gigi should hire a guy to stand outside that bike as well.
So that's what I was almost, you know, what I was going to get to. Basically, what you're saying is I think Ducati and Gigi Deligna will be very upfront with, I feel like they would be very upfront with Pramac and saying like, hey, that bike better be freaking spot on. We're going to make ours spot on. We want yours to be spot on. We want this to be no doubt, 100% rider to rider. They're on the same machinery. Everyone knows that there can be no fault. There can be no excuse. Because, yeah, I mean, if Jorge goes out and immediately has some sort of fault, the other thing, too, though, is like if he makes a mistake that could look like a problem, can he come in and blah, 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 blah. And that's all the drama that we hope not to see. Hopefully we just have good, clean racing like we've seen in the past. But
I just know that if your boy Mark finishes third in a race next year, I don't know what they're going to blame it on, first off.
Yeah.
Second off, the guy, after he crashed out, spoiler alert, of the race today,
mm-hmm.
You're watching this very spread out race at that point, and you have the second and third place riders, one of which is almost a shoe-in at this point to win the championship.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is fighting for third with Mark in the championship. Both of those riders are not on your roster next year. Neither one of them.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that the decision was made. And when the decision was made, you didn't know how the year was going to end up for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you're potentially losing the reigning champion to another team and the third guy to another team.
The third place one has yet to be decided. The Bastianini versus Marquez, I think that battle will purely be up to next weekend to see who takes third. And I've been enjoying that battle because it is kind of a like, no, I do deserve it compared to I deserved it. I should have gotten it. The Jorge one is the one that I can't really argue with. I don't know why. I don't know why. Jorge's asked for it, proven that he's there. I have never understood and will never understand. The only thing that I can think to argue with you on, which I'm not, you know, just kind of for devil's advocate, is that Jorge technically took the Aprilia contract before Ducati gave Mark the other one on official, right? As we saw it behind the scenes, obviously a lot of different things go on, And Ducati probably went to Jorge's manager and said, hey, by the way, we're most likely giving this to Mark based off of these things. And then Jorge heard that, got pissed, and went and grabbed the next thing he could. But the way that we saw it was that Jorge technically went to Aprilia first. So, the Bastianini versus Marquez, I think Bastianini deserves it just as much. But at the same time, when they made the decision, Bastianini wasn't quite coming back yet. He did come back immediately after that. He's been having a very good season. He's been responding in a pretty good Bastianini sort of way. And he's actually gotten a little bit better, in my opinion. We've seen him go from, I can only do good at the end, to I can qualify pretty well. I can do well in a sprint, and I can start to do pretty well from the beginning of the race. So, you know, I've had those thoughts, but there's been a good fight between those two for the point leadership. There's now a 3-point gap with Bastianini leading. And in my opinion, whichever one wins deserves it. Obviously Mark gets it, but you know, I think that's kind of why that fight is there. And I've been enjoying that, reasoning behind it, because it gives that third place a little bit more oomph, if you will.
Well, no, I agree. I just mean strictly from the standpoint of, if you've got this roster to fill, I know you can't give everybody a ride, but you're losing potentially the first place and third place or fourth in the championship. You're losing those to completely different brands.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they are also losing two bikes.
If you just looked at the Ducati roster and wanted to get rid of two people, those would not be the ones.
No. I mean, Mark also wouldn't be one of them, to be completely honest. I think this year it would probably be Bezzecchi and DG?
No.
Maybe Bezzecchi and Marquez? Alex type? Yeah, I guess. Sorry. Yeah, Alex Marquez has not been doing that great.
Alex.
Bezzecchi. Bezzecchi has definitely not been on his game this year.
Or maybe Morbidelli on performance alone. It'd be those three.
I guess, yeah, I forgot about Morbidelli. He's
on this year's performance alone. But you got Bezzecchi going away also.
Yeah, he is leaving. Morbidelli technically is going away. And DG's going to, or staying with VR46, right? I believe. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it's... You know, the craziest part to me is that, like, we're even having this discussion. Like, who deserves a Ducati? Who deserves the winning bike? I am hoping. Obviously, I'm a Marc Marquez fan, but, you know, I've been having discussions all year with a buddy of mine about Jorge and how I really do hope he wins the championship, because I do personally believe it'll be his last chance. But there's also, you know, a spark somewhere inside of me that's hoping that Aprilia figures something out over the winter, because Jorge's got talent. He very obviously has talent. Yeah, Ducati's the best bike on the grid. You can put someone on a 2024 or on a current year spec Ducati and make him look amazing. Franco Morbidelli. At times. Sometimes he still doesn't. But, you know, Alex Marquez, since you hate on him quite a bit, he looks pretty good from time to time because of the Ducati, we would argue. And we've had questions on how good people actually are. I think, one, we are going to see an answer to that with Jorge next year. And two, I do hope that Aprilia can pull something and give him something worth riding, because I do think he has the talent to provide some fun. So,
well, every rider's different. Every rider reacts different to a different bike, and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. But Luca Marini already answered some of that question. Was it the bike or the rider?
Yeah. Yeah, the only issue with that one is that the Honda is also, like, Juan Zarco, I think, is probably our best bet down there to see, like, the most legitimate, how is this bike? And he's definitely doing worse, right? So I think he does, it is a little bit of testament to the bike versus the rider. The Ducati definitely made Juan look better than the Honda does. To win, you have to have the best rider and the best bike. You can, it doesn't have to be, okay, sorry, let me take that back. In combination, you have to hit this 100% of the best of both, right? And so if you have an 80% best rider, you only need a 20% best bike. But if you get a 30 or 40 or 50%, that's going to increase your chances of just being perfect. And so I think what we see with like Bagnaia and Martin is maybe 60% rider, 50% bike, right? They're both sitting at that kind of 110%, which is why they're sitting way out in front. And then you get further down, you have some other riders that maybe are not quite all there. Maybe it's just a 50-50, right? But I do think that Ducati is 50%. So if you can find a rider that is good, they're gonna be up there. If you find a rider that's pretty decent, they're still going to be pretty far up there. You think about a rider that's at 30%, maybe Juan Zarco at 30%, he's going to be in that top 80%, right, on a Ducati. Put him on a Honda. Sorry, I'm kind of rambling, but put him on a Honda where the Honda's only at 20%. Now he's down in that bottom half. Anyway, that's kind of how I relate that stuff. So, did that make any sense? Hopefully that makes sense. Yeah.
What I heard was Joe Amir still sucks. And
yeah, sure.
That's what I got out of it.
All right. Well, anyway, we are going into Barcelona, the final round. We've got, let me pull up the standings just so I'm not misquoting. We got Jorge Martin with a 24-point lead. So just under 25. And that's the key. If he takes the win in the sprint, it'll be over. If he wins in the sprint, I believe that's a 3-point gap. It goes 12-9, right? And it'll be more than 25-point lead. And then he doesn't have to win the race or do anything in the race. So that is kind of cool, you know, for MotoGP history changes, whatever. We brought the sprints in. This will be, could be the first ever championship crowned at the sprint. And then, as we just mentioned.
And also the first ever satellite team to win.
Yeah. Yeah. First. Yeah. Which that is huge. And that's the cool part. The only thing that I will say is that it's a satellite team on a factory spec bike, but still satellite. Don't want to take it away from him, but it does have to be mentioned.
But they've been doing that for years.
Yep. And then the Bastianini-Marquez fight. Marquez does still hold that by 1 point currently. He did climb his way up a little bit. And then, you know, another 159 points behind that, we have Pedro Acosta down in fifth. And then Brad, and then anyway, goes on from there. So, yeah. It's crazy. I'm excited. I think it'll be a good sprint. I think with the fact that he just has to win the sprint, you know, the starts he's been having, I think Jorge Martin's got it. The only thing I will say is that Pecco is weird when he decides to be a robot or not. There are times where it doesn't make any sense. And it's usually like there's this pressure where like there's no pressure, he's good. There's a little bit of pressure, he wrecks. When there's a ton of pressure, he's flawless, untouchable, doing crazy things, pushing the bike past its ability. You know, like Jorge Martin's back there, not able to hang on and looking like he's going to wreck the bike. And there's the robot just roboting it out. No problem. But you take that little bit of pressure away and he can't hang. I don't know. It's like he needs that kind of extra push to just get him in that sweet spot. It's weird. I don't like it. But
so I don't care which one of them win it, mm-hmm. realistically, but so don't take this the wrong way, but man, I wish Bagnaia wouldn't have crashed in that sprint last week.
Yeah.
Or this week.
It was this week. Yeah.
This week. I wish he wouldn't have crashed because it would be tight.
It would be a lot more tight. It would have to go to the race and it would have like, that's the only kind of thing that, you know, last year, like very technically went down to the last race, but one of them would have had to wreck out. It's not who wins this race wins the championship. So
yeah, we were close to that scenario without that crash.
Yeah. Yeah. We would have been hanging out there. Yeah. And that was kind of what sucked about that crash was you kind of realized like, okay, as long as Jorge is mature about it, like it's pretty well decided. I will say, you know, based off our predictions a few weeks ago,
Well, I knew you had to bring that up.
Sign off now, but
it ain't over till it's over.
Sure.
Sugar in the tank.
Anyway, that's where you're sitting. That's your top five in the championship. Like we said earlier, if you haven't used your boost yet, it's running out of time. So go ahead and get that used. I don't have much else to cover. Jack's okay. We got one round left. It's not where we thought it was going to be. It's going to be exciting. I'm ready for it. That's all I got.
I think we're good. I'm still on Italian time, so I don't even know what day it is.
There you go. All right. Well, on that friendly note, thank everyone for listening. If you're not following MotoGP, you're probably not listening to this podcast. So that's okay. Keep up whatever you're doing. Go to the racetrack. Enjoy motorcycles. We'll see you guys next week.
See you later.